Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for the Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
Because I'm going to make this place yours.
Good morning. Happy Monday. I love the theme song. So surprised. Of all the things I thought would come up in the first, like, 3 weeks of the show, I thought someone would ask, who's the artist? Who sings that song? Producer Charlie. We haven't got that yet. I mean, we've got a lot of contact about, hey, I love the bumper music. I love the songs. But nobody said, Jeff, who sings it? I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to do your own research and find it out. But it stays in my head throughout the day, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So many of us, I think we really think we know more than we really do. And I'm gonna say that about myself too, right? Especially when it comes to real estate. We love seeing new buildings. We look at that building. Wow, it's beautiful. And we assume that it was such an easy process to get to build it or even to fill it with tenants. But what do we really know about location-based development, why a company goes here, there, what's best for the greater good when it comes to the real estate game? At least in my mind, I like to kind of put it into the four Ds. When I think about real estate and growth in any area across the state of Wisconsin, I think density, I think discovery, I think diversity, and then obviously development. You know, density, it's, you know, what is around in a space, in an area that makes it a great place to be. Discovery, what are those entertainment and retail and touch points? Diversity, it's not only diversity in businesses, like if you're moving into an office tower, it's diversity of people and places and transit options. And then obviously development, we're going right into it. I think the media sometimes can portray development and commercial real estate as this never-ending booming industry. But the reality is that success depends upon a property type, a location, current market trends, and a whole lot more. You know, maybe a warehouse in an industrial area might not be seeing a ton of demand from people, but, you know, an office building in a declining suburb or a pocket of the city may struggle a little bit, and that might not fill up really quickly. Commercial real estate can be a great investment, but it's not set it and forget it, and it's not a hands-off way to instant success and riches, as I know our guest today will tell us. Finding tenants, managing properties, dealing with repairs, all of that requires a ton of expertise and a ton of effort. And of course, as Dave Spano from Annex Wealth Management will remind us, changing interest rates and market forces always come into play. We'll hear from Dave at the bottom of the hour today. Buildings and developments are fun though, right? And we're not going to stop building and filling developments with new tenants and companies. So I wanted to get to the heart of all of it today. And today we have two great guests here to give us that insight. Jenna McGuire has worked in commercial real estate since 2008. She's leased some of Milwaukee's highest profile office projects, including Schlitz Park, The Avenue right here, Summit Place, Chase Tower, and more. She's primarily focused on landlord representation and has worked on behalf of some of the most prominent and active area landlords in an effort to negotiate lease transactions and create value through marketing and branding. Jenna was a co-star power broker in 2019 and part of the Milwaukee Business Journal's class of 2021. Jim Villa is the chief executive officer of NIOP Wisconsin, the Commercial Real Estate Development Association, where he's been since 2016. Past vice president of university relations at the University of Wisconsin system. Worked for Card W for 7 years prior to that and was chief of staff to Scott Walker when Governor Walker was Milwaukee County executive. So today, it is an approachable, yet truly an insider, but an every person's view into the world of commercial real estate. Fun stuff that you only find here on The Upswing. We'll be right back with our guests. We're back. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Wow, on the talk and text line, we had three, four, five people, six, seven identify the theme song at the top of the hour. So that's great work without even calling for it. But wow, I love it. Love to see that enthusiasm. So we're back with commercial real estate experts, Jenna McGuire Vice President of Wisconsin Office Brokerage Group at Colliers, and Jim Villa, CEO of NIOP Wisconsin, the Commercial Real Estate Development Association. So, Jim, Jenna, thanks for taking time. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Let's dive right into some of the whys and hows of corporate relocations and corporate location selection. So Milwaukee Tool, Fiserv, Veolia, Interpac, Allspring, Northwestern Mutual, all have committed to greater downtown Milwaukee, right? What are some of the trends we can extract here? And from what you both know and see each and every day, you know, what else is kind of active in the market? And, you know, let's talk about some of these specifically as well. Jenna.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I was fortunate to have participated in several of these transactions, and it's been a really exciting, you know, past 24 months or so as far as corporate relocations and interest and activity in downtown. You know, starting with Milwaukee Tool, I mean, I would say not a deal that I was a part of or right. even anticipated. I remember it was a Friday afternoon and I'm getting phone calls from local media saying, hey, we hear there's a big announcement coming. Do you know anything about it? Typically, I do. I like to think that I'm in the know and I'm active enough that I you know, can have some sense of what that announcement might be. But Milwaukee Tool, I mean, that was fast and furious and a huge commitment to downtown. And I think while, you know, the Fiserv was in play,
right.
I'm sure Northwestern Mutual was doing some planning. So those things might have at the same time been, you know, happening. Milwaukee Tool really kind of started that wave. Don't you think, Jim? It was
yeah.
really like that was the first commitment.
Absolutely.
And it's been, I mean, it's been fantastic. So much interest in downtown.
And unlike a lot of businesses that want to be downtown, have a presence downtown, I think what you saw with Milwaukee Tool was a major investment. And so they didn't say, we're going to have an office downtown. They want to have a presence here. And that's a difference. And I think that's important. And I think to Jenna's point about, you know, all these different people, it's talent.
Right.
So, you know, talent and the people that are going to work at these companies want to be downtown. And so companies are starting to recognize that if you want to hire good people and that's the pool you're looking for, then you've got to be where they want to be. We all hear this all the time. You know, people don't pick their job or necessarily a community based on where they work. They pick a community where they want to be, where they want to live.
Right.
And so I think what we're seeing here is we've got still strong suburbs. I'm sure, you know, Jenna can talk a little bit more about the market, but we have strong real estate in the suburbs, but downtown's hot, and that's yeah. because people want to be here.
Well, and when there's multiple options for people to work at, you know you can go to this company or that company and have a lot of collaboration and connection around you, and I think that's really important, too. So having kind of that first company come, knowing that there's others around it is important. So kind of what... Give us in kind of easy to understand terms, you know, when a community, whether it's downtown or not, is trying to lure a corporate relocation, what's that approach? I mean, assuming it's not a Amazon HQ RFP type thing, when you're working with a community and a company for relocation, what's that process?
So I think it really varies. You have some situations where it's originating in a headquartered city on the coast or something like that, right? Fiserv is a good example. That process was run out of New York, both at the Fiserv decision-making kind of level and then at the brokerage level. Obviously, if they wanted to relocate, we know that the local people were very vocal. But sometimes it kind of starts out of state and then trickles back down to Milwaukee or the, you know, neighboring suburbs. Other cases, it's really a combination of local leadership and, you know, MMAC, M7, the bids, saying, hey, we know that there could be a requirement. What can we do to woo you? I mean, I've been really fortunate working here at the Avenue to work with Bid 21, who happens to be a tenant, great tenant to have. But we have said, hey, Matt Dorner, we need your help. There's this company that's considering maybe downtown, maybe staying in the suburbs, can you help us? And they'll, you know, put on the full court press to help us to make that argument.
Yeah, it's really a collaborative effort when it comes to recruitment and retention and strategies that are able to lure companies to any community, right?
Absolutely. And communities, as from a financial standpoint, have limited tools. So tax increment financing, which we could spend a whole week of shows on, is really the only financial tool that communities have. And so they have to do what Jenna's talking about, which is really build an army of networkers and supporters. And Milwaukee does that really well. We roll out the red carpet. Everybody looks to Chicago or New York or LA, but in Milwaukee, we bring people here. And once they come here, we know this from studies that Visit Milwaukee and others, once they come here, they love it. And so then our job is to keep bringing them in, and then hopefully you get the decision makers so you can get them to move here.
Yeah. I want to talk about the different approach with manufacturing companies, and we'll do that up next after the break. This is The Upswing, and I'm Jeff Sherman. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are talking all things commercial real estate today with Jim Villa from NIOP and Jenna McGuire from Colliers. Thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. So the approach to luring manufacturing companies to communities really anywhere across the state, how is it different based upon kind of traditional real estate options?
Well, if you think about it, so if you're a retailer or a restaurant, you want to be where people are. People are moving around. If you're an office, you want to have parking. You want to have all those sorts of things. Manufacturers have different needs. So hoists and cranes, loading docks. Some want to be close to rail. There's the 5 to 55, which means 5 minutes to 55 miles an hour on the freeway.
Okay.
So those are kind of things that people are looking for when they're going to site their manufacturing plant. And so it's important for them to, they're looking for different things. And, so you got to check the list if you're going to put those in your community.
And does that put out areas like greater downtown? Are we even in the mix for manufacturing? Because from a recruitment and retention standpoint, there's probably some value there.
Yeah, I think downtown, you know, the plan that the city has for downtown, which I think is pretty exciting, probably leans away from that.
Yeah.
There are pockets of the city. We've got the 30th Street Corridor, Century City, where Century, we definitely would love to see some manufacturing. Northwest Side, a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's some areas in the city that they'd like to see that, but, you know, Jenna's done all this great work of building up downtown with these offices and retailers. I think we want to keep downtown a little more focused on that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's another trend that you can kind of extrapolate as it relates to some of these office deals that have happened, not on the maybe large scale, but Milwaukee Tool certainly wanted a downtown presence.
Right.
They do their manufacturing elsewhere, but really needed to have that location to be able to attract and retain top talent, which is a theme probably throughout what we'll talk about today. But even on a smaller scale, Twin Disc, they are in Racine, Kenosha, somewhere south of us. And they opened up an office probably 2 years ago now in the Third Ward for their sales team, for their C-suite. And again, cited for flying people in, we don't want to drive them to a manufacturing facility off the highway.
Right.
We really need to impress people. If they're considering jobs in multiple markets, you have to put your best foot forward. And I think we'll see a continuation of that. There are other manufacturers in the market right now looking for just that presence downtown.
Yeah. So you're seeing that, you know, manufacturers may not say, hey, we want to be in the city center, but there's a possibility for us to have a second office for, you know, upper management and, you know, doing the interviews and whatnot, because we know we have to be where, quote, the action is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So when you look at kind of what's happening in downtowns, obviously the Milwaukee's downtown, we haven't hit ultra low level. You could say we are on the upswing proverbially all the time right now. But a lot of downtowns are taking office towers and converting them to residential. What are some of the unique challenges? And I know you're both involved in the 100 East conversion project and keeping an eye on that right down the street here. What are some of the unique challenges with office conversions into retail? Or into residential, I'm sorry. There might be retail.
Well, I think some of the obvious that you might not think about, right? You think about an office building, there's offices, and boy, it's all just set up. Well, most of the offices are too small to be an apartment, so you have to take everything down to the studs. Electrical and plumbing in most of those buildings runs up with the elevators, and so you have to extend that to the rest of the floor plate. And so that can be very expensive and very complicated. And so I think what you're going to see with 100 East and some other potential projects in town is It, you know, I still think they're going to happen, but it's going to take some time and probably a little more money than what everybody thinks.
A lot of money. Yeah. You know, there's also the perfect storm of construction costs right now being as high as they ever have. One other, I think, attribute of most office buildings doesn't necessarily translate well into a residential conversion is just the size of the floor plate. So you get into these depths where apartments wouldn't have natural light. So some buildings work, certainly, but not all of them.
What about windows, right?
Yeah, you need windows.
I've got to have a window that opens, and I know they've figured out a way to do that in some, but it's not what we think about normally. Right. When we think about our apartment or our house opening
exactly.
The window.
Well, and then when you think about marketing it, you have that perception. Oh, it used to be an office tower, and you got to change the whole outside looking vantage point of the building to attract a different class of customer.
But think about how cool it is, right? So we use the phrase Maine and Maine in real estate. Mm-hmm. That's water in Wisconsin, right? That's Milwaukee's Maine and Maine. So can you imagine? I mean, I think it would be pretty exciting to be able to live on Maine and Maine and, you know, walk into the CBD, walk down to the Third Ward and the public market. So a lot of good reasons to do it, and hopefully these things come to fruition.
Yeah, just doesn't work for every building, but I agree. I mean, you can't pick a better site for residential. I think 100 East is going to be a tremendous project.
Very good. And you see cities continuing to advocate and even subsidize some of this type of development?
I think it's tricky.
Yeah.
Because it's very expensive. A lot of these projects across the country are starting and then not going anywhere. And so I think cities want to be careful that they don't get engaged with this and then get sort of stalled and then they haven't invested elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But in key areas where I think about, again, 100 East, you've got the M&I building up the street. You know, that area could really do well with more density.
Right.
It would really create a neighborhood there. And so that might be a place where the city of Milwaukee says, we'll take a look at helping there,
right,
and being strategic.
We're back. This is The Upswing. Thanks for joining us. We want to talk a little bit about national and local decisions in key neighborhoods. And we're talking commercial development and all things real estate today with Jenna McGuire from Colliers and Jim Villa from NIOP. So how do you see, Jenna, you'd said as we were preparing for the show that you could talk all day about how Milwaukee is just completely different story than what happens on the coasts.
Mm-hmm.
What is this difference and what's at the heart of all of it?
So I think people, you know, first of all, since, you know, 2020, I don't even want to say the P word, people who I meet and ask, you know, what do you do for a living? And I tell them that I lease office space. They're always like, oh, I'm so sorry. That must be really hard. Are you going to get a different job? Which is hilarious, because obviously it wasn't, you know, super easy 2020. But we really rebounded very quickly in the office world. You know, and there are a few reasons for that. I mean, Milwaukee is pretty conservative, in our development and, you know, how we develop and how quickly, you know, speculative development's pretty rare. We didn't have a ton of new product, when things kind of paused for a little while.
Right.
But the other part of it is just, I think, kind of that Midwestern work ethic. We had a lot of companies, you know, local companies who'd be looking for space and they would say, how do I get my people back to the office? Like, I'm not okay with this work from home thing. You know, I won't name names because there was a time when you couldn't say that openly. But I think we did have people kind of want their employees back to the office faster than, you know, some of the larger national companies could. And then in Milwaukee, we don't have commuting issues. We don't have public transit. It's so much easier to get to an office. So it's kind of, I think, the perfect storm of, you know, people want to be together. And we
right.
had employees come back a lot faster. You know, so the doom and gloom in San Francisco, we're not a tech concentrated region by any means. It's just not what we've experienced here in Milwaukee.
Do you think it's time for the Midwest to really showcase to the rest of the world what we're all about? Are you seeing that, Jim, on a national level?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, obviously having the RNC convention here this summer is very important. Politics aside, think about the business leaders that'll be here and the attention we'll have to what we have to offer. And again, I go back to what I mentioned earlier. When we bring people to Milwaukee and they really get to experience it, they fall in love. And so I think, you know, start to think about fresh water, the great things happening in Milwaukee. It's a cost of living is less. And we've got great people, right? And we talked about talent earlier. We have great people here, and that makes a difference for companies.
Yes, without a doubt. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of mall and retail development, something that everyone seems always interested in. How do you see the malls in the greater Milwaukee continuing to grow from a, you know, from just an interest standpoint from your outside looking in lens?
Yeah, so I remember, it had to be almost 10 years ago, I asked a couple of retail brokers, I said, you know, what is the mall back then? And I think the best response I got was, look, malls are where they are for a reason. It is location, location, location. So what you're seeing is successful malls are readapting themselves to what people want. You're obviously seeing a lot more experience, a lot more food. It isn't just come in, walk the halls. You have to kind of build an experience for people. And now what you're seeing, we saw it with Bayshore, I should say, but now what you're seeing Southridge and Mayfair is residential. Bring the people to the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think building some density, changing the experience, bringing in new experiences in retail will make a difference for our malls here.
Very good. All right. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue our discussion on all things real estate and commercial real estate with Jim Villa and Jenna McGuire. This is The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. All things commercial real estate today with Jim Villa and Sarah McGuire. So, Jenna McGuire, I'm sorry. My bad.
It's
my
Monday.
Bad.
Jeff,
there are
okay.
Sarah McGuire's in the market. So, Johnson Controls, their lease of the full city block in downtown Milwaukee ends on October 1st. And the new property owner is Bear Real Estate Group and intends to move really quickly after that date to repurpose all the buildings into new office tenants and apartments. How involved have you been in this project, and what are you seeing? What are you seeing here, Jim?
Well, Jenna's probably more involved, but what I would say is from a downtown perspective, what's exciting is putting residential in that neighborhood on the East Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about the tour and now you have this, you have 833. There's a lot of things coming together, very similar to what we're talking about, like the City Hall neighborhood. So I love it because a little more density over there puts a lot more value on the properties and to the businesses that are there. You know, I mean, we've got some restaurants over there, the hotel, et cetera.
And really connecting the nodes and connecting the neighborhoods, you know, the streetcar coming right past it, easy to walk to the Third Ward, easy to get to the lake. I mean, those connection points in downtown are really becoming even more important.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So I'm not involved on it personally at this point, but I had the unique opportunity to work with Marquette students last semester for their capstone project.
Okay.
And this was the site that they selected. So certainly got to know the buildings, the campus, and then work with these students to have, you know, see what their vision would be, which was really interesting. Yeah. I agree.
And from that student lens, what were some of the ideas that the students were had in front of you?
It was interesting. Each group was very different.
Okay.
But, you know, a very small component of office.
Okay.
Definitely a lot of residential, hotel. We had a brewery. We had a dog park. But all, I think, really creative ideas, and all of them could work together. Huge site, huge opportunity. So I think it'll be interesting to see what they pull together there.
All right. Very good. Well, speaking of Marquette, I want to move over to UWM. And Jim, with your past, kind of what are your thoughts on UWM? And as it hopefully continues to grow, I think a stronger, bigger UWM is so important for southeastern Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I would say it's like your grandmother telling you she's got an old Chevy in the garage you can have, and you go out and you find it's a 64 Corvette or something like that. I don't think we realize what we have. So UWM is an R1 university. That means doctoral studies and highly active research. That is the same designation that UW-Madison has, and we've seen what investment in Madison in terms of research and development has done for that campus, has done for the city, has done for our state. state. We need to treat Milwaukee the same way. Milwaukee is an access institution, which is really important, particularly here in the city of Milwaukee. So we have to invest to try to find that balance for them so that they can make sure that anybody that wants to come into the universities can come in. But we're also having a really vibrant research program there. That can build a city. We know it. And UWM is poised to do it.
Yeah. Do you see additional development opportunities from student housing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, housing is going to be everywhere, right? We need housing at every level. But as the campus, hopefully as the campus grows in terms of students, you're going to need more housing. And then it's the research buildings. You know, if you've ever been to Madison or any major institution that does research, they're constantly building buildings to take on new projects. And I think that would be really exciting for the UWM. And, you know, UWM is a little bit landlocked, but we've got plenty of spaces in the nearby community, so they could really stretch themselves across the community and do some great things, I think.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful campus, obviously so close to the lake and just so full of energy all the time. Do you see any opportunities to pedestrianize any of those streets on the UWM campus? Is that something that's discussed?
I lived over near the UWM campus for a while when I was younger, and you know, parking and cars is a pretty important topic over there. And
yeah.
the neighbors might like it, but you know, it would be interesting. You remember years ago we had the discussion about closing Wisconsin by Marquette?
Yeah,
I think UWM could also make a pretty good argument for a couple of those streets to help contain things for themselves and create that, you know, environment of a campus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, as we know, streets and cars are always touchy subjects.
Exactly.
Right here.
Well, I think with the city's focus on safe streets, there's opportunities to, you know, take everyone's opinions to the table and make it more friendly, more safe for everyone. And
absolutely,
that's what needs to be looked at in every development. All right. We'll come back for the final segment with Jim Villa and Jenna McGuire. This is The Upswing. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Thanks for being here. Jim Villa and Jenna McGuire talking all things commercial real estate today. So, Jim, as you're looking at your career, what was the most exciting, kind of fulfilling project you've been able to work on?
Well, I've been lucky to work on a bunch of different things, not specifically on real estate because I work for them, but not in it.
right.
But I'll tell you, I mean, over the last couple of years, NAIOP has partnered with Marquette, and we've done a summer high school program for students of color.
Hmm.
We're really trying to diversify and grow the talent pipeline, and so we're trying to introduce real estate to people across the city. And you know, there are days when you feel really old working with high schools, and there's days the energy, it just makes you feel great. But it's been tremendous, very tremendously rewarding, and we've already seen a couple kids go through the program and go on to college, and they're still staying in touch with us. And so, to me, it's great because it's real estate sort of growing from within right here in Milwaukee. And we know that, you know, there's national developers, of course, but, you know, people that develop here, that live here, care about the community a little bit more, right? We'd like to hope. And so it's really fun trying to develop some of that talent for the future.
Yeah, well, it's keeping that talent pipeline strong. I mean, that's all of our responsibilities, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Jenna, same question for you. Favorite project?
Well, mine's going to be a little bit more self-serving than Jim, but I've enjoyed working with your program too in the summer. We've done some tours here. But I'm going to say it's a tie. I started, I think when we first met Jeff, I was working on Schlitz Park.
Yeah.
You know, kind of back under its first renovation with Gary Gruno. So that was an incredible opportunity to really cut my teeth in leasing and a tremendous project for the city. And then we're sitting in the other one. This was kind of my next wave. So the Avenue's been so important for the city of Milwaukee, such a great vision that's been executed. And so, you know, leasing space here has been really fun. I just need to find my next one.
Yeah.
We're almost out of space.
All right. That's good. Yes. Always keep the eye open for the next one.
Right.
So one building that personally or within your companies, if you could buy, and what would you change about it? Anywhere in the state of Wisconsin. This is opening up the landscape. I got two real estate experts
here.
Well, I think, you know, I said this during the break, but it's true. American Family Field, I'd love to have it downtown. You know, I wish it was there, but I think that That's we're one more big thing downtown from really just exploding. And we talk about 18-hour cities, and I think, you know, we've done a really good job. But even if it isn't AmFam, because I do love it, I love it. Don't text or call and complain. but I do think we're missing one more big thing downtown to really get us over the edge. And I would have loved to have seen it be baseball, but we'll go out and find out something different.
That's right. Well, and you look at all the developments that happened between here and AmFam in the Valley, and, you know, things happen as they're meant to. And right. Maybe some of that infill wouldn't have happened if
Absolutely.
The ballpark would have been downtown. But, hey, you just never know. And that's the beauty of talking about it, right?
Exactly.
Jenna, same question.
So mine is, it's an existing building in Milwaukee that's vacant. So I really like the former Ace Hardware site over across from McKinley. And I think it's kind of a critical piece of development. McKinley is it's almost a highway right now.
Yeah.
And it's almost as though the Deer District is, you know, just across the street, out of reach, and it's not connected. So I think that's kind of a missing piece of the puzzle, and maybe something great and big and catalytic could go there and just really tie that whole neighborhood together, make it more walkable. I think it's just an important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I think another corporate headquarters for the greater Deer District, Bronzeville area could be really important to kind of bring together what's already happening kind of at the center of gravity that is the Deer District.
Right. Bring more bodies on site. So.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Bronzeville. I mean, we didn't talk about hot areas, but I think Bronzeville and shout out to Ray Hill at the Martin Luther King Jr. bid. That area is exploding. Mm-hmm. And with the Bronzeville Center for the Arts coming online at some point here in the near future, I think you're really going to see a lot more development come from the Fiserv and go north.
Very good. All right. Jenna McGuire, Jim Villa, I want to end the upswing. Both of you, you got 30 seconds here, 15 seconds each. Define success.
Oh, define success. I'm going to lead it to Jim first.
Go ahead. Thanks. Well, I think success is being enjoying what you're doing and enjoying the people you're doing with. I know that sounds cliche, but I think as you get a little older, you realize you can make a living doing just about anything if you put your mind to it. But it's being around people you enjoy and doing stuff that you enjoy.
Very good.
I like it. I'm gonna steal your answer, and I'll just say, you know, also integrity, and also, you know, making sure that you're being the best version of yourself.
That is a great way. That's a great way to end a Monday Upswing show. I appreciate your time. All things commercial real estate today. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk interior home design with Anna Franklin. Anna is the founder and CEO of Stone House Collective, a brand new location in Shorewood.